Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 6th of August 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be talking about how nanotech can help you with your doof-doof, and how researchers have given the incredible shrinking man a place to work by building a lab on a chip. We'll also hear how nanotechnology is helping to make slippery stuff, well, more slippery, and how researchers in the US law enforcement agencies are making people sick, literally sick, with new technology. Some clever scientists are learning to levitate, and a Japanese company is breaking speed records with just a bunch of AA batteries. Those stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Panasonic today announced that it's developed a patent-pending low-range sound reproduction method, Nano Bass Exciter, to reproduce high-fidelity sound for compact speakers. Panasonic's groundbreaking method is achieved by placing a porous carbon material within the loudspeaker cabinet, enabling small and or thin speakers used in a range of products such as audio-visual equipment and mobile terminals to produce the industry's highest level of rich low-range sounds. The Nano Bass Exciter uses a porous carbon material with nanometer-sized minute pores that control the concentration of air molecules in the speaker. When low-range sound is produced, large amplitude vibrations of the diaphragm momentarily increase the air pressure within the loudspeaker cabinet. The Nano Bass Exciter physically absorbs the air molecules and decreases the air pressure, allowing the diaphragm in a compact speaker to move in the same manner as the diaphragm in a large loudspeaker cabinet. As a result, even compact equipment can reproduce high-fidelity, low-range sound. The Nano Bass Exciter achieves twice as much volume of low-range sounds as Panasonic's conventional speakers, allowing rich reproduction with high fidelity. The new method can reproduce the low-range sound equivalent to that produced by conventional speakers with large cabinet volume. Researchers from the University of Delaware and Washington University in St. Louis have figured out how to train synthetic polymer molecules to behave, to literally self-assemble, and form into long, multi-compartment cylinders 1,000 times thinner than a human hair, with potential uses in radiology, signal communication, and the delivery of therapeutic drugs in the human body. The focus of the research with block copolymers, which are synthetic molecules that contain two or more chemically different segments bonded together. Block copolymers are used to make a variety of materials such as plastics, rubber soles for shoes, and more recently, portable memory sticks for computers. Although the research is a long way from practical application, the team's discovery has yielded a new fundamental bottom-up technique for building nanostructures. A layer of ruthenium just a few atoms thick can be used to fine-tune the sensitivity and enhance the reliability of magnetic sensors, tests at the National Institute of Standards and Technology show. The non-magnetic metal acts as a buffer between active layers of sensor materials, offering a simple means of customizing field instruments such as compasses and stabilizing the magnetization in a given direction in devices such as computer hard disk readers. In the NIST sensor design, ruthenium modulates interactions between a ferromagnetic film and an antiferromagnetic film. In the presence of a magnetic field, the electron spins in the ferromagnetic film rotate, changing the sensor's resistance and producing a voltage output. The antiferromagnetic film, which feels no force because it has no net magnetization, acts like a very stiff spring that resists the rotation and stabilizes the sensor. The ruthenium layer is added to weaken the spring, effectively making the device more sensitive. This makes it easier to rotate the electron spins and still pulls them back to their original direction when the field is removed. NIST tests showed that thicker buffers of ruthenium, up to 2 nanometers, make it easier to rotate the magnetization of the ferromagnetic film, resulting in a more sensitive device. Thinner buffers result in a device that is less sensitive but responds to a wider range of external fields. Ruthenium layers thicker than 2 nanometers prevent any coupling between the two active films. All buffer thicknesses from 0 to 2 nanometers maintain sensor magnetization, even resetting it if necessary, without a boost from an external electrical current or magnetic field. This easily prevents demagnetization and failure of the sensor. Geol USA, a leading supplier of electron microscopes and scientific instruments for nanotechnology, has announced that it's completed installation and acceptance of its first thermal field emission electron microprobe in the United States. The microprobe was installed at NIST in Maryland, in one of the world's most technically advanced laboratories for developing new technologies and standards for a wide range of nanotechnology fields. The ability to simultaneously utilize an energy dispersive X-ray spectrometer, or EDS, and up to 5 wavelength dispersive X-ray spectrometers increases speed for elemental analysis of nanometric sample areas. All but a few of the elements on the periodic table can be analyzed. As a result, this super microprobe is ideal for the materials, geological, and petrological fields. Houston Technology Center has announced the launch of its new Emerging Technology Council. HTC's Emerging Technology Council will help Houston's innovative technology companies tap into the city's range of business development and professional resources, while also integrating its efforts with those of HTC and its partner organizations. The Emerging Technology Council will focus on achieving 4 goals: providing emerging technology companies with access to helpful organizations, associations, and institutions located in Houston, strengthen the ties between Houston's technology-oriented organizations, match Houston's major corporations with qualified emerging technology companies, and to recruit fast-growth technology companies from other parts of the nation to Houston. To accomplish these goals, the Emerging Technology Council will offer a variety of hands-on programs, including summits that bring a select group of technology entrepreneurs together with decision-makers from prestigious Houston corporations and learning forums drawing emerging technology companies from across the region to meet with large businesses and nationally recognized speakers. FEI today announced its latest and most powerful scanning electron microscope, the Nova NanoSEM 30 series. This high-end versatile field emission SEM series features new low kilovolt performance for enhanced surface characterization, high current for compositional analysis capabilities, and the world's only high-resolution operation in low vacuum to characterize uncoated and even insulating samples. The advanced performance of the Nova NanoSEM 30 series enables the characterization and analysis of a large range of samples, including demanding ones such as nanoparticles, insulating substrates such as glass or polymers, porous materials, metals, and composites. Beyond its new imaging and analytical performance, the Nova NanoSEM 30 series also provides researchers with novel prototyping capabilities based on electron beam lithography, electron beam induced deposition, and in situ experimentation for manipulation and testing. If you've ever marveled over the orderly process by which cars, buses, and other modes of transportation are directed towards their destinations in a big city, you'll really appreciate the work of one Florida State University chemist. Thomas Fisher, an associate professor of chemistry and biochemistry at FSU, is designing a smart traffic system similar to those in major metropolises. A major difference, though, is its size. Fisher's traffic grid is small enough to fit on a tiny microchip. Fisher has designed a lab-on-a-chip, a small device that, when exposed to very low magnetic fields, might one day be used as a portable tool for quickly diagnosing a variety of human illnesses. Fisher explained that the device would work by exposing the blood sample to very low magnetic field oscillations. In doing so, certain microscopic particles within the sample would be manipulated into commuting through an array of magnetic bubbles on the surface of the chip. Observing where various particles align themselves would then enable medical professionals to determine the nature of the patient's illness. Much more basic research must be done before such a diagnostic tool is ready for the marketplace. Fisher stressed that science often is a long, laborious process that can take years to generate results. However, this sort of research is essential if breakthroughs in medicine and the sciences are to occur. Devices made from plastic semiconductors, like solar cells and light-emitting diodes, could be improved based on information gained using a new nanoparticle technique developed at the University of Texas at Austin. As electrical charges travel through plastic semiconductors, they can be trapped much like a marble rolling on a bumpy surface becomes trapped in a deep hole. These traps of charges are known as deep traps, and they're not well understood. Deep traps can be desired, as in the case of plastic semiconductors used for memory devices, but they can also decrease the efficiency of the material to conduct electrical charges. In the case of solar cells, deep traps can decrease the efficiency of the conversion of light into electricity. To further explore the deep trap phenomenon, a group of scientists, led by professors of chemistry and biochemistry Paul Barbara and Alan Bard, developed a single particle technique to study small portions of semiconductor material. Deep traps could be caused by defects in the semiconductor material, either native to the material or introduced impurities, with special properties that encourage charge trapping. These traps could also develop over the life of the semiconductor. Previous techniques used to study deep traps have generally involved completed semiconductor devices, which create complications due to the complexity of a functional device. One key to saving the environment, improving the economy, and reducing the dependence on oil might just be sitting in your mother's medicine cabinet. Scientists at the US Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory have begun to combine infinitesimal particles of boric acid, known primarily as a mild antiseptic and eye cleanser, with traditional motor oils in order to improve their lubricity and by doing so increase energy efficiency. Ali Erdemir, senior scientist at Argonne's Energy Systems Division, has spent nearly 20 years investigating the lubricious properties of boric acid. In 1991, he received an R&D 100 award, widely considered the Oscar of technology, for showing that microscopic particles of boric acid could dramatically reduce friction between automobile engine parts. Metals covered with boric acid film exhibited coefficients of friction lower than that of Teflon, making Erdemir's films the slickest solids in existence at the time. But driven by a conviction that he could fashion boric acid into an even better lubricant, Erdemir continued to chase the ultimate frontier, a perfectly frictionless material. Glimpsing the potential of nanotechnology, Erdemir went smaller, 10 times smaller, and was astonished by the behaviour of much thinner boric acid films. Erdemir said if you can produce or manufacture boric acid at the nanoscale, its properties become even more fantastic. Reducing the size of the particles to as tiny as 50 nanometers in diameter, less than 1,000th the width of a human hair, solved a number of old problems and opened up a number of new possibilities. In previous tests, his team had combined the larger boric acid particles with pure polyalpha olefin, the principal ingredient in many synthetic motor oils. While these larger particles dramatically improved the lubricity of pure oil, within a few weeks gravity had started to separate the mixture. By using smaller particles, Erdemir created a stable suspension of boric acid in the motor oil. In laboratory tests, these new boric acid suspensions have reduced by as much as 2/3 the energy lost through friction as heat. Using this liquid analog of solid boric acid as a fuel additive on a large scale could greatly benefit the environment, both because it would help to increase fuel efficiency and because it would replace existing fuel lubricants that are potentially harmful to the environment. By themselves, most fuels, especially diesels, contain some sulfur and other special chemical additives to boost lubricity. When burned, however, some of these additives, along with sulfur, may cause harmful emissions and acid rain. However, the lack of a suitable alternative complicates efforts to cut sulfur content. The MIT Technology Review is reporting on a new LED flashlight that can disable people by either temporarily blinding them or by nauseating them to the point of physical illness. The flashlight, which is being developed as a non-lethal weapon for the US Department of Homeland Security, uses a rangefinder to measure the distance to the target's eyes so that it can adjust the energy of the light to a level that won't cause permanent damage. Then it rapidly shoots out pulses of light from an array of ultra-bright light-emitting diodes. The flashes incapacitate a person in two different ways. The flashes temporarily blind a person, as any bright light would, and the light pulses, which quickly change both in colour and duration, also cause psychophysical effects. These effects, whose effectiveness depends on the person, range from disorientation to vertigo to nausea, and they wear off in a few minutes. The Department of Homeland Security intends to arm police, border security agents, and the National Guard with the new flashlight by 2010. As the nanotechnology world races to perfect hydrogen fuel cells and lithium-ion batteries for motor vehicles of the future, Panasonic has slipped quietly under the radar to make history with the humble AA battery. Panasonic managed to power a car using 192 AA Oxyride dry cell batteries, which propelled the car to a top speed of 75.8 miles per hour. St Andrews scientists have discovered a new way of levitating tiny objects, paving the way for future applications in nanotechnology. Theoretical physicists at the University of St Andrews have created incredible levitation effects by engineering the force of nature, which normally causes objects to stick together by quantum force. By reversing this phenomenon, known as Casimir force, the scientists hope to solve the problem of tiny objects sticking together in existing novel nanomachines. Professors at the university's School of Physics and Astronomy believe that they can engineer the Casimir force of quantum physics to cause an object to repel rather than attract another in a vacuum. Casimir force, discovered in 1948 and first measured in 1997, can be demonstrated in a gecko's ability to stick to a surface with just one toe. However, it can cause practical problems in nanotechnology, and ways of preventing tiny objects from sticking to each other is the source of much interest. Though it's possible in principle for humans to levitate, scientists are a long way off developing the technology for such feats. Carl Zeiss SMT has presented at Microscopy and Analysis 2007 its newly developed Ultra Plus scanning electron microscope with unique technology for charge compensation of non-conductive samples. For the first time, high-resolution, stable and noise-free images from samples such as ceramics, polymers, fiber optics and many more can be obtained even at high acceleration voltage and high probe current. This technological advancement was specifically developed for satisfying increasing customer demands in analytical research, development and testing of advanced materials. For the purpose of charge neutralization, a proprietary gas injection system enables for a local flush application of inert gas. Thereby, electrostatic charging of samples is neutralized and detection of secondary electrons, as well as backscattered electrons, becomes feasible. Numerous applications in life sciences, material analysis and semiconductors will profit from this development. Carl Zeiss has also officially launched the Orion helium ion microscope. According to Carl Zeiss, this new microscope is capable of providing images of unrivaled high resolution, surface information and material contrast, unachievable with any other microscopy instrument available today, and paving the way for a new era in sub-nanometer, ultra-high resolution scanning microscopy. The Orion scanning ion microscope uses a beam of helium ions, rather than electrons typically used in scanning electron microscopes, to image and measure. Since helium ions can be focused into a substantially smaller probe size and provide a much smaller sample interaction compared to electrons, the Orion system can generate higher resolution images with greatly improved material contrast at a substantially extended depth of focus. Like navigating spacecraft through the solar system by means of gravity and small propulsive bursts, researchers can guide atoms, molecules and chemical reactions by utilizing the forces that bind nuclei and electrons into molecules, analogous to gravity, and by using light for propulsion. But knowing the minimal amount of light required and how that amount changes with the complexity of the molecule has been a problem. Now, by creating a quantum mechanical analog of Ulam's conjecture, researchers at the University of Illinois and the University of California have expanded the flexibility and controllability of quantum mechanical systems. Given sufficient time, classical chaotic motion will spontaneously connect two points in phase space with arbitrary precision. In 1956, American mathematician Stanislaw Ulam conjectured that owing to this phase space-filling aspect of chaotic trajectories, a minimal series of energy expenditures would suffice to transfer a body from one point to another much more rapidly than by spontaneous motion. Ulam's conjecture is now routinely used to steer spacecraft around the solar system with minimal energy expenditure. Using photons as an energy source, electrons within molecules can move in much the same way as spacecraft in the solar system. But there is a hitch. Quantum mechanics, not Newtonian dynamics, must be used to describe the motions. In quantum mechanics, the system is described by a wave function or quantum state. A remarkably simple experiment devised by scientists yields important information about the mechanical properties of thin films, nanoscopically thin layers of materials that are deposited onto a metal, ceramic, or semiconductor base. The findings impact a broad range of scientific disciplines and applications, from cosmetics to coatings to micro and nanoelectronics. Understanding the mechanical properties of thin films is essential to their performance and optimization. Until now, determining the mechanical properties of these thin films was either an expensive and time-consuming endeavor requiring powerful microscopes to view the films, or scientists examined composite structures and made uncertain assumptions. This new research will give scientists a simple way to access the material properties of most thin films. In some of the materials studied, the wrinkles in the ultra-thin polymer films vanished with time, unlike the skin of a dried fruit or the crumpled hood of your car after an accident. This vanishing provides insight into the relaxation process of an ultra-thin film by yielding information on the way polymer chains move in the highly confined geometry. Purdue University researchers have developed new miniature devices designed to be implanted in the brain to predict and prevent epileptic seizures, and a nanotech sensor for implantation in the eye to treat glaucoma. One research project focuses on a tiny transmitter 3 times the width of a human hair to be implanted below the scalp to detect the signs of an epileptic seizure before it occurs. The system will record neural signals relayed by electrodes in various points in the brain. Data from the implanted transmitter will be picked up by an external receiver, also being developed by the Purdue researchers. The most critical aspect of the research is creating a device that transmits a large amount of data at low power. The transmitter consumes 8.8 milliwatts, or about one-third as much power as other implantable transmitters, while transmitting 10 times more data. Another key advantage is that the transmitter has the capacity to collect data specifically related to epileptic seizures from 1,000 channels or locations in the brain. While the transmitter and its battery are to be implanted below the scalp, the electrodes that pick up data will be inserted directly in the brain through holes in the skull and then connected to the transmitter by wires. A commercial implantable device developed by other researchers for epilepsy currently is in clinical trials at several sites. New technologies being developed aim to predict the onset of seizures and immediately dispense a chemical called a neurotransmitter directly to the area of the brain where the seizure is starting. Another biomedical engineering project underway involves the development of a sensor to be implanted in the eye to monitor glaucoma by measuring pressure in the eye's interior. The disease causes blindness from a buildup of fluid pressure in the interior chamber of the eye, killing fibers in the optic nerve. Glaucoma patients go to the doctor periodically to have their eye pressure checked. If it's high, the doctor prescribes medication or performs surgery. Pressure sensor, which is placed between 2 layers of tissue in the eye, measures the interocular pressure and transmits the information to an external receiver, so pressure can be continuously monitored. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 6th of August 2007. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.